about finding our life shlichut, finding our life mission statement. This has been a seminar on leadership, a Yom Yun on leadership, and a Yom Yun on specifically religious Zionist leadership. So what I'd like to do for a few, we only have 25 minutes, I'd like to share with you what is for me a very powerful idea based on the teachings of Rav Kook and of Soloveitchik, the famous article of Rav Soloveitchik on Shlichut in Divrei Hagut V'Haracha, very famous article of Rav Soloveitchik, which had a tremendous impact on my life. It's in fact, I think the only time he quotes Rav Kook, I think, it's in this article, there may be other times, but maybe the only time. And also the writings of Rav Kook also helped me crystallize the idea I want to share with you. And we really do not have a lot of time. And I wanted to, you have a source sheet in front of you, we're only going to touch on some of the sources. And this is really about finding our life mission statement. How do we work out, in 25 minutes, exactly what it is each one of us should be doing with our lives? I want to try and give you a spiritual map, a GPS, of what I believe, what works for me, how each one of us can work out what our lives is all about. And I want to introduce this concept to you with one of the greatest conductors of all time. His name is Arthur Toscanini, Arturo Toscanini, one of the great Italian conductors who moved to the States and I think conducted the New York Philharmonic. He was a music genius, and there's a story about him that I actually heard from a bar mitzvah boy who quoted it from the Maggid Speaks, the series of the Maggid Speaks, and have subsequently looked up the authenticity of the story. And I want to share it with you. Here's Mr. Toscanini. Well, before we get to Mr. Toscanini, the question I always wanted to ask Hashem, if I had 1 minute with Hashem, if Hashem gave me a 1 minute interview, for sure, one of the questions I would ask is, Hashem, am I fulfilling the mission, the shlichut that you sent me to this earth for? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I'm going to try to work it out for all of us right now. That's Mr. Toscanini, and let's see if we can hear him. Beethoven's ninth. Fifth. Okay, that's just a taste of Beethoven's fifth for you. That's Mr. Toscanini. And here's the story told about Mr. Toscanini, a story from about 50 years ago. Somebody was writing his biography and came to him one evening and said, Mr. Toscanini, can I continue writing this evening? Can I meet with you? He said, no, I'm listening to one of the Philharmonic orchestras playing one of my favorites, and I need to listen to it. Do you mind if I come and participate, come and sit in your room? He said, I really need to be quiet. He was listening to it on the radio. He said, I promise I won't disturb you. He said, okay, but you have to sit for the entire performance, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it was, and you may not say one word. So the guy walks, the writer walks in and listens. Toscanini closes his eyes and listens for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it was, to whatever was being played by that particular orchestra. The music finishes, and the man asks Toscanini, says, that was quite impressive. Toscanini says, not bad. I didn't really enjoy it. He says, what do you mean you didn't enjoy it? It was unbelievable. He says, I'm convinced that one of the violinists was not there. The violins didn't sound the same. You know, only 15 violins in a 120-piece orchestra, sometimes 14. He said one of the violins were missing. The guy didn't say anything. He thought to himself, how does Toscanini know that one violin is missing? He said he's going to research it. He eventually makes it one call after another, gets to the producer, and says to him, listen, I just want to ask a question. I listened to the performance. Were all there? Were all the musicians there? He said, yes, they were all there. He said, are you sure? Were any of them missing in the day? He said, let me just check the notes. He said, yes. One of the violinists phoned and cancelled on the day. We had one less violinist. And the question is, how did Arturo Toscanini know that one violinist was missing? They often play exactly the same thing. You see, to the non-musical ear, 120-piece orchestra, one is missing, you can't tell. But to the orchestrator, right, to the menatzeach al tizmoret, to the one who's got a keen ear, one violin playing exactly the same music, not quite the same if it's missing. A I think it's a great mashal. Each and every one of us have a shlichut to be in our own music to play. It might look like the same music. We might be keeping the same tron mitzvot. We might be playing the same violin, so it seems. But to the menatzeach al atizmor, to Hashem, the menatzeach of all life, who's created each and every one of us with our personal shlichut, if our music is not being played, even if it seems exactly the same as other people's music, something is missing. And there's no doubt that every single one of us have a unique mission and shlichut on this earth. We don't have time, as I said, we had originally was planned for an hour shiur, and I really do not want to be late for Shani, you've been here the whole day, so we're going to really skip and just do just a number of makorot. If you look at your source sheet, in source number one, this source is a tremendous source. I'm sure you all know it. It's just, for any mechanech, it's the most incredible source, the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, at least chapter 4. Famous question, which the Gemara gives four answers, the Mishnah gives four answers. Lama nivra, lefichach nivra dam yichidi. Why is it, says the Mishnah, we won't go into the whole context of the Mishnah, that the only creature of the millions of creations that was created by itself, by him or herself, is Adam, Adam and Chava. Every other was created, leminahem, the stars, the flora, the fish, the animals, the mosquitoes, the insects, everything was created, millions and millions, but all at the same time. Why was Adam created by himself? The famous quote from the Mishnah, Shekol ha'amer me'abed nefesh echad miYisrael, ma'aleh alav ha'ketuv ke'il yibed olam malay. Anyone who destroys one Jewish soul, the Tosefta says, nefesh echad, without Yisrael, meaning anyone who kills another person, ma'aleh alav ha'ketuv ke'il yibed olam malay, that the entire world has been created to teach us the importance of one human being. One Jew or one human being. One neshama is missing in the world, the whole world might as well not be created, because in essence, the entire world is worthwhile for one Jew. Look, a little bit later down, I'm leading out two of the answers. Look at the fourth answer I've underlined. Ulahagid gdulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only the importance of every soul, but the uniqueness of every soul. Look how great Hashem is. She'adam tovea kama matbeot b'chotam echad. A person mints coins, and every single coin looks exactly the same. V'chulan domin ze lezeh. U'melech ma'achem lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Rashim. Even though we were all created from the genetics of Adam and Chava, every single one of us from the genetics of Adam and Chava, we should all be the same, yet v'ein echad mehem domeh l'chavero. Every single one of us is inherently different. Our faces are different. But so many stories I won't tell about how faces, identical twins, they look similar to you. The moment you get to know them, I had chanichim like this in B'nai Akiva in South Africa. I couldn't tell the difference between them. Two girls from Cape Town. The moment I got to know them from 50 meters away, I could look at their face and tell the difference. When you don't know somebody, even if they're identical twins, they look the same. The moment you get to know them, you see that the panim is just, the panimi of the face is just an expression of something deeper. There are billions and billions of people on earth. There have been tens of billions of people on this earth. Every single one of them, their face is inherently different, reflecting the difference of their neshama, their personalities. And since every person is different, lefichach kol echad v'echad chayav lomar, everyone has to say, I'm so unique, not only so important, I'm so unique that the world could have been created for me. And therefore this is a very, very powerful makor that every single one of us is absolutely unique. And if every single one of us is absolutely unique, we certainly, each and every one of us, have our unique mission. If you can look at your source sheet in front of you, you'll look at what I want to try and do today is work out what that mission is. So we know we're unique. I could bring so many other sources to prove that we know you're unique. How do we know what exactly our mission is? And I'll cut straight to the chase because we don't have a lot of time. I want to show that I believe every single human being, every Jew certainly, has two missions. What I call the private mission, the personal mission, and our collective mission. We have a mission to ourselves. That if we were only the only person who ever lived on this earth, we have a mission. The quest for self-perfection, the Baalei Musar call it Tikkun Atzmi. That's what the Baalei Musar call it. Tikkun Atzmi. If we were the only person ever created on this earth, we have a mission for ourselves. We have to make ourselves a better person. But that's only part of the mission. Every single one of us also has another mission called Tikkun Olam. Perfecting the world. To try and make the world, our society, a better place. There's a very famous makor that Rav Soloveitchik brings in his article in Shlichut. If you look at source number 3. In source number 3, it's the Pasuk. This one that I've also got on the slide.
מי יעלה בהר השם ומי יקום במקום קודשו. Every Sunday we say Mizmor Kaf Dalet. Every time we put back the Torah we say Mizmor Kaf Dalet. And on Yom Kippur night we say מי יעלה בהר השם. Who is the one who will merit going up to the Har Hashem? Miyakum imkom kodesh. Who is the person who can stand in Hashem's presence? It says the pasuk Neki chapayim avar levav Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi velo nishva lemima. Who has clean hands and a pure heart? We won't go to that now. Who has not the one who has not taken my name in vain and has not sworn deceitfully? Who will stand in Hashem's presence? Somebody who has not taken my name in vain. And amazingly, shows Rav Soloveitchik the source, following source. Number four, Rav Soloveitchik brings this Gemara. Now this is quite stuck, but there we go. He brings the Gemara that you can see in source number four. Kevan shebal lavira olam masechet nida daflamet. And when a person is born, you know, the angel touches him on his or her the lip, as we know. And I'm only reading what I've underlined. Daflamet amud bet masechet nida ve'eino yotzei misham ad shemashpi'in oto. And nobody is born until the Malach makes us swear an oath. Shenemar ki li tichrakul ve'otishavah kol lashon. Hashem makes every lashon, every person, take an oath. And what is that oath? Look what I've underlined. Tishavah kol lashon. Ze yom haleida. The day we were born is the day we, so to speak, took a spiritual oath. Shenemar neki kapay ba'levav. Asher lo nasa lashav nafsho ve'lo nishva lemima. Now we know what the oath is. What is that oath that we took? The day we were born, so to speak, we take a spiritual oath not to swear deceitfully. We commit ourselves to not take Hashem's name in vain and not to swear deceitfully, i.e. to fulfill the oath. And the Gemara says, "Umahi ashvua," and what is the oath? Shemashvinoto tehet tzaddik v'alte rasha. The essence of life is to strive to be a tzaddik and not to be a Rasha. That is an oath every single one of us takes, so to speak, when we were born, that we were placed on this earth to be the best that we can be. And when I summarize, you know, this concept of tzidkut, there's a tzaddik prati. An individual has to be a tzaddik in their lives. It's what the Ramchal calls in many places a tzaddik klali. A person who's a tzaddik not only in their personal life, but in their contribution to the klal, what I have called, what the Balei Musar called tikkun atzmi. And what we say in Aleinu Alkei Mekaveh, the Taken Lam of the Malchut Shakai, Tikkun Olam. Chevra, this, in, to my mind, is the essence of our mission. We have to find our quest. Our life is about ongoing shtichut of Tikkun Atzmi and an ongoing shtichut of Tikkun Olam. And you see, you need both. If you don't have both eyes, if you only have one eye, you see the world without depth. Some people only view the world through Tikkun Atzmi. If one's only being a Baal Musar, then one thinks one's life is only about being a better person. But what about your attitude to other people? No, it's just about me. In fact, maybe I'll do chesed to other people in order that I get Olam Haba. It's all about me. Everyone is an opportunity for me to do mitzvot too, that I can get closer to Hashem, and I can maybe even get my chalik in love. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. Spiritual egocentricity. Every mitzvah is an opportunity for me to have a touch point with somebody else to help me be better, so I can get closer to Hashem, and I can make my way to That's part of Judaism. That is what's called tikkun atzmi, constantly. But what about other people? Other people? Is there a value in helping other people even if there's no benefit to you? Tikkun atzmi. There has to be another point, and that is tikkun olam. Some people are very committed to tikkun olam. Unfortunately, and there are so many examples of this every day, political leaders, spiritual leaders, people who make a massive impact in the world, heads of non-profits, but their own personal lives are in a shambles. They haven't got their house in order. They haven't got their lives in order. They haven't got their yitzharim in order. How many people's lives are destroyed because they're busy perfecting the world, but they forgot to perfect themselves? Says Dag Hammarskjöld, he was one of the secretaries of the United Nations in the 50s. He says, I find it so much easier to perfect the world than I do to perfect myself. It's a lot easier to labor for the powerless and the hungry in Africa than it is to be a good spouse and a good parent, says Dag Hammarskjöld. You can lose yourself in your tikkun olam. You need both. If you only focus on tikkun olam, you forget about yourselves and how many people's lives are great rising stars that have been littered with personal failings. When tikkun atzmi does not work with tikkun olam, a person eventually, the star crashes. But if a person's only doing tikkun atzmi, they forget about making a difference in the world. One has to strive to be a tzaddik prati and a tzaddik klali. How does one know what one's mission is? Tikkun Atzmi. But I want to know, okay, great, I got it. I want to fix myself. I want to be the best shaliach I can be. I want to be a person who's Metaken Atzmi, perfects myself. How do I do that? How do I do Tikkun Olam? So for this, we have a little GPS. This is also a summary of many, many different Makorot in the Balei Musar and Chassidut. In short, a person has to know what their weaknesses are, their erroneous zones. What are those recurring habits, their weaknesses? Every single person, Hashem has given every one of us a map. And what is that? Where are the areas that we're weak? Where are the areas that if we do not watch ourselves, we're saying davening every morning, V'lolidei nisayon, V'lolidei nisayon. Each one of us has to be careful that we've got erroneous zones, we've got shortcomings, we've got yitzarim, specially packaged for ourselves. And if we do not watch ourselves, that can bring us to nisayon and bizayon, and literally destroy us. And then if a person does not make their life mission to work out what that is, that's what cheshbon nefesh is. Cheshbon nefesh is thinking day in, day out. What are those recurring behavioral patterns that are actually less than appropriate? What are those things about me that I need to metaken? And if a person doesn't spend time thinking, cheshbon nefesh, what is it about me that needs a lot of attention? Unfortunately, I've seen it too often with people I looked up to so much, and all types of people well known, that sometimes, you know, the star is shining and people's tikkun olam is unbelievable. But the tikkun atzmi, I think it's those who dafka kol hagadol mechavero yitzro gadol hemeno. As a person's star shines, so does the yetzer for tikkun atzmi, to fight that grow. The yetzer is, you know, grows with it. And therefore a person, as they grow to make the impact, has to be so careful and vigilant not to lose themselves in tikkun olam, but to continue being metaken atzmi. And therefore, working on humility, working on all of our midot. So, a person has to continue asking themselves, where am I weak? Where do I find things difficult? What midot do I have that if I don't dedicate myself to protecting myself, to put in place siyagim, to perhaps to put in place all types of, you know, boundaries, a person's life can be ruined through not focusing on tikkun atzmi. And therefore, I think perfecting ourselves is a very simple, profound, yet incredibly challenging map. Going through life thinking always, the map for me to see what I need to do to metaken atzmi is looking for those midot, which are just less than what they should be, our challenges, and finding moral and spiritual ways, strategies to continually protect ourselves, to better ourselves. Sometimes a person might have a midah where they are certain very weak in, and therefore a person's got to know what boundaries to put up. Chazal had all types of, when it came to the sexual desire, they didn't say overcome your yetzer, stand in front of, you know, the biggest things which entice you the most and overcome. They said, no, put things in place. There's certain boundaries called yichud, there's certain laws of tzniut. Put boundaries in place. Respect the power of the yetzer. If a person has got a challenge with money, then put boundaries in place. Don't go anywhere near that you can dip your hand into communal funds. If you know there's a yetzer, and the yetzer for money is massive, and how many people's lives have been ruined through all of these yetzerim, we could go on and on. If you can't overcome it, because everyone has got their unique challenges, then put boundaries in place. Not to put yourself in a position where a snowball will start rolling and you won't be able to do it. Think of strategies. Analyze yourself. In fact, the Balei Musar call it Hitlamdut. The most important person that we have to study is ourselves. It's called Lehitlamed. Study yourself. See who you are. See what your weaknesses are. And find ways to understand them, respect them, and deal with them. Ladies and gents, that's just the first mission. Focusing on your weaknesses is only going to allow you to develop strategies to better yourself, but it's going to have no difference whatsoever in perfecting the world. And here we come to the second one. And here are the 5 points that I put. Rabbi Fleischer spoke so beautifully and passionately about passions, which I'm going to speak about in a moment. And here are the 5 things that, again, come from different sources that we need to have a look at. What are my dreams and aspirations? What are my passions? As Rabbi Fleischer said so beautifully. What makes me get up in the morning that I'm so passionate about? I like the way you put it. I'm so angry about. I mean, there's something that I'm so passionate about. In fact, it's going to come to something in point number 3 that I've got over here. But what am I passionate about? Maybe it's the Kuzari, the dream of the Kuzari in the beginning of the Sefer Kuzari, where a person has this dream that has come. Every single one of us has a recurring dream, a recurring passion, something that we truly care about. I have to tell you, it took me a long time to work out what it is. I didn't know what it was when I was younger. And one finds, as one goes through life, different voices which keep recurring in one's life, teaching one what one is truly passionate about. Those dreams and aspirations, don't give up on those dreams and aspirations. They are there to guide you as to what you're truly passionate about. Now, you can be the most passionate person in the world, but totally lack talent in that area. You can love music and be tone deaf. So what do? But you absolutely love music. Well, you can be a music producer. You can fund philharmonic orchestras. You can be a person who invests in music so much. You have to marry, of course, your dreams and aspirations with your powers and your talents. And if a person has to keep thinking, where am I strong? Meaning, if for tikkun atzmi, we need to know where we're weak. For tikkun olam, we need to know where we are strong. We need to know where we are strong. Thirdly, and I think this connects to what Rabbi Fleischer said, we need to identify a need in society. What is there something in society that I see a need? There's a lacking, and I'm so passionate about it. I'm passionate about it, I'm talented, and that need in society is something I want to answer. It was amazing to listen to Nitzana Darshan Leitner today, seeing a person who's passionate about something from that first court case that she spoke about, dedicating her life to this is unbelievable. I saw a beautiful quote where somebody said, find something you're passionate about, and find somebody to pay you in order to do it. And that's what the world is like, certainly in the non-profit sector. Find something you're passionate about, create an amuta, or join a non-profit, and find people who see the need that this answers a need in society. Fourthly, he says, point number four, align with one's values. You want to align with one's values. Can't be that your passion and your dreams and your aspirations go against your value system. A person might have an outstanding knack with guns. They might be passionate about it. They might be talented about it. You know, they might want to be a hitman. There's a need in society, but it's against one's values. Meaning, one's values have to guide one. If a person, it's the famous source we've got in source number six, if you can see it in front of you, source number six. Sometimes you're given a passion, you're born, says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat 1568, Kufnun, Bab Amud Aleph. A person is born under the star sign of Mars, i.e., a person is a ruddy person, they're a bloodthirsty person, a famous Gemara. That is given to you. It is a personal bent and aspiration, sometimes a talent. What do you do if Hashem has made you a bloodthirsty person? Famous Gemara. You can't uproot it. I'm Rabbi Ashi. You've got lots of things you can do if you're bloodthirsty. He says you can be an umana, you can become a doctor, a surgeon who cuts people up the whole day. You can become a thief, God forbid, a person who, Rahman Islam, does terrible things. You can slaughter animals. You can do brit milah. I mean, a model spends his day making young babies cry and spilling blood. Is that a nice thing to do? What does a shochet do? Spends his life killing animals. You have a passion. You have a personal orientation, but that's got to be used for moral purposes. It's not enough to say I'm passionate about it, I'm good at it. It's got to be in line with one's moral values, and hence even a bloodthirsty person. It's amazing. Rabbi says, famous Gemara, look at the continuation. Rabbi says, but I was born, and I'm not a bloodthirsty person. Abai says to him, of course you are. You head of the Sanhedrin. What do you spend your life doing? Who will live? Who will die? Who will go to prison? How can you not be a person who can stomach such difficult decisions? You clearly have a dispensation to making tough decisions which impact in people's lives. So, of course, it has to be in line with that. And then both Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik talk about personal circumstances. In fact, here is where Rav Soloveitchik quotes Rav Kook. Please have a look at source number two. In Olat Raya, the Siddur of Rav Kook, he is quoted here by Rav Soloveitchik in the article in Shlichut. You know, we say in the part of the Slichot, we say, Elokai, ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Before I was created, I wasn't worthwhile. V'achshav shenotzarti, ki ilu lo notzarti. Says Rav Kook, what does this mean, that before I was created, I wasn't worthwhile, and now that I've created, it's as if I haven't been created. Listen to the beautiful words of Rav Kook. Lifnei shenotzarti, vadai lo haya dabar ba'olam shaya tzarichli. Why was I not worthwhile before I was created? Because the world did not need me. The fact that I was not created meant that I was not needed in the world. Ki im hayiti chaser, if I was really, if something in the world was lacking and needed me, bishvil eize tachlit v'ashlama, hayiti notzar. If there was something in the world which needed me, says Rav Kook, then I would have been created. The fact that I have not been created means there's nothing in the world that needs me yet. And therefore I'm not kedai. V'keivan shelo notzarti, listen to this, ad oto hazman, and since I was only created at a specific time, Hazman hu'ot, the time you were created, is the sign. The fact that you were born at a specific time, to a specific family, in a specific juncture of time, in a specific country and society, shapes you and gives you your personal circumstances to fulfill your mission of salvation. He says it's so beautiful in this article of Shlichut. He says, I'll show you the source. Look at source number 8. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about the story of Rabbi Tarfon in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Kiddushin Kaf Amud Aleph. The mother of Rabbi Tarfon, Imoshe Rabbi Tarfon, Yardala Tayel, the mother of Rabbi Tarfon went for a tiyul on Shabbos, and her sandal broke. Alach Rabbi Tarfon v'niach shtayadav tachat parasot, and Rabbi Tarfon would put his hands under her feet that her feet would not touch the ground, and she was walking, on his feet, so to speak. As she put her foot forward, he put his hand underneath it. Panechat nichnasu chachamim levakro. Once Rabbi Tarfon was sick, and the rabbis came to visit him. Amra lahen, she said to them, "Hit palalu al Tarfon v'ni, please pray for my son. Tarfon is desperately sick. Shehu noheg bi bekibud yoter midah. He gives me too much kavod." Amrim lei, mahu avid lach? What did he do to you? And she tells them the story of how he would put her hands underneath. Amrim lei, afilu hu oset kain elef alafim. Even if you do this thousands of times, adain lachatzia kavod shemrat ra'loike. He hasn't even got to half of kibud avayim. And Rav Soloveitchik says what? The mother is gloating in her child, saying, "Daven for my child. He's unbelievable kibud avayim." And what do the rabbis say to her? Ah, he's nowhere near what you need to do for kibud avayim. Why, says Rav Soloveitchik, are they delegitimizing his kibud avayim? Says Rav Soloveitchik, because it could be that his specific shlichut in the world at this point in his time, while his mother was alive, was what? To show the world the highest levels of kibud avayim. And if indeed he had got to the highest level of kibud avayim, then maybe it's taka time for him to die. And therefore the rabbis were saying to Rav Soloveitchik, no, there's so much more to do. Indeed, he has been sent to the world as a shaliach of what kibud avayim is about. And as long as his mother's alive, that is his shlichut. Let's not say that he's fulfilled his mission. Otherwise, perhaps he will pass on. And I'd like to, maybe just one final source. If you look at source number 7, there are a plethora of sources I could have chosen for this. And the one that I've chosen is a Meshech Chochmah, and I will end with this. The Meshech Chochmah tries to work out how the Midrash juxtaposes Noach to Moshe Rabbeinu. How is it that Noach starts out his career as Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dorotav Eta Elokim Italech Noach? Noach starts as a Tzadik, walks with Hashem, Tamim, complete. And how does he end his career? It says, Ish Adama, Vayachel Noach Ish Adama, when he plants the vineyard, he's called a man of the earth. He started out as a man of God, he ends up as a man of the earth. Yet, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, who is identified by what? By Benot Midian, Ish Mitzri. As an Egyptian man, that's how he's identified, Ish Mitzri. But how does he end up? Ish Elokim. So, it says that Meshe Chochmah, how is it that Noach goes from being a man of God and ends up a man of the earth? And how is it that Moshe starts as an Ish Mitzri and ends up being Ish Elokim? Listen to these unbelievable words. Look at the third line down. Meshe Chochma Bereshit Perek Tet Pasuk Kaf. Ha'inyan, third line down in the source sheet, source number 7. De'yesh shtei drachim ba'avodat Hashem yitbarach. There are two ways to serve Hashem. Derech echad mi shemiyached atzmo la'avodato yitbarach u'mitbodeh. A person who's only worried about tikkun atzmi. He does his bodhidus the whole day. She only worries about perfecting him or herself, and that is all. V'yesh mi shosek b'tzarchei tzibur. There's a person who dedicates their life also not only to tikkun atzmi, but tikkun olam, tikkun haklal. U'mevatel atzmo b'shvil haklal. And mevatel a person's self for the klal, for others. U'mafkir nafshav olam. The person's almost, they mafkir themselves, meaning there's so little ego, it's all for the klal. And says the Meshech Chochmah, incredibly, you would have thought that the more a person gives to others, the less time they have to grow, the less time they have to invest in themselves, surely they would be at a lower spiritual level. But says the Meshech Chochmah, no, you see exactly the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu grew to Ish Elokim when he stopped being in Midian, doing whatever he was doing in Midian, even if he was studying and growing, only when he went to Har Sinai. And only when he became a person of the club, brought the nation out to Mitzrayim and brought them out, did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu when he was Mafkirat Moab or Aklal. And you see, and there's many other sources to back this up, that a person has to be mit bodet to perfect themselves,
But at the same time, we have to be totally committed to society. And I want to say in conclusion that that is our dual mission. Our dual mission in life, I believe, our personal life, Shtichut, is trying to find that voice inside us, looking at those weaknesses very, very carefully, and trying to we get one shot at this earth. And I always say, when you see the failures of great people, and there's so many great people, I try to study failures of great people. Because maybe if you study the failures of great people, you'll be destined to learn from other people's failures and not yourselves. The problem is, what people do when other people fail, they point to society, likes to project, the person failed, Judaism says, don't worry about that other person, judge them favorably. That's a mirror for you to reflect on your weaknesses. Somebody else fails, everyone projects all the woes of society onto them. Judge them favorably until you're in their position, but maybe that can be a mirror for you to learn from their failures, because maybe Hashem is talking to you through them to tell you, have a very serious look at yourself and your weaknesses and your shortcomings, lest they trip you up. Tikkun Atzmi, and may we go always through life, not judging others unfairly, judging others favorably, and using others' failures to learn for ourselves, to always be doing hitlamdut, to be doing Tikkun Atzmi in order to better ourselves. And that's only one eye. The other eye is Tikkun Olam. As we say in Al-Kaim, for the final source, well, I won't read it, L'Tikkun Olam, the Malchut Shakai, we all know the source, Tikkun Olam, to use our God-given dreams, aspirations, and passions, our powers and talents, find a need in society that we're angry about, or that motivates us, align our values with it, and look carefully at our personal circumstances, where we are in life, where we find ourselves, in which college, in which family, in which environment, wherever you find yourselves, therein lies your shlichut for that particular point in your life. And may each and every one of you go back with the experiences that you have, and this is the next stage of your life shlichut. And think about these things. Let these voices guide you. And wherever you find yourselves, try to find, match those dreams, powers, talents, needs in society. And as Rav Lashley said beautifully, be passionate about it. Try and make a difference. And what we try to do today is share with you passionate people, passionate leaders who are making a difference. We've shown you women and men today of all different backgrounds making such a difference. Right? We have people today have taken very difficult personal circumstances and used them, to hear Racheli Frankel speaking with a smile on her face. It's almost eerie, that smile, that positivity, the gratitude, right? That a person can go through experiences and only come out with a sense of purpose, mission, positivity, just with a natural sense of the beauty of life. And all the different people that have spoken today, I'll say to Elvis Shani, who's one of the outstanding, Talmidot Chachamot and female Torah teachers today. This entire day has been inspiring us to not only learn, but also to learn from shining examples. I think she'll be here any moment. Does anyone want to ask any questions? Otherwise, we'll wait for a moment. For any questions on what I said today? We're all happy. Okay, great. All right, so please don't leave. As I say, she'll be here any moment, and it's my real opportunity to... I'm looking very forward. I haven't heard her speak. I know she may speak to ladies' groups. I'm looking very forward. Okay. Thanks for being with us today. I'll thank you all in advance now. Sarah, we've got a big challenge for next year. We know what we want to do to take this program to even greater heights. I also want to acknowledge an initiative at Mizrahi called the Lamb School of Leadership. You'll see in all the publications, it's called the Lamb School of Leadership. We've set up a division called the Lamb School of Leadership, which is here to invest in leadership, in these type of leadership programs, and so many others, to continually invest in young people and beyond, trying to grow and make a difference in the world for the values that we are passionate about here at Mizrahi. Torah, Etzion, I say there's only two things. I often say there's only two things in entire Torah. Only two things which are called a morasha, a spiritual inheritance for every Jew. There's only two things that every Jew in Jewess actually spiritually owns. A chelik in Eretz Yisrael that we saw in Parshat Va'era, and a chelik in Torah. Those are the only two things that the Torah says is a morasha. And the Gemara in Masechet Baba Batra says, one morasha and not Yerusha. Because a Yerusha is something that somebody gives you and you have no responsibility to do anything with it. A Morasha is something that you have to be Morish. Somebody gave it to you. You have responsibility to uplift your life with it and give it to others. And the only two values that the Torah says are a Morasha. Torah Tzivalan Moshe, Morasha Kilat Yaakov Parshat Zot Abracha, and last week's Parshat Va'era, Veheveitichim, the fifth cup, Veheveitichim El Aretz, Hashem Nasati Et Yadi Latet Ota La Abraham, Yisrael Yaakov, Venatat Yota Lachim, Morasha Ani Hashem, the only two values, and that's the things that we try to commit ourselves to, the interaction and synergy of these two values,
and bring them out with derech eretz, with passion, with beauty, and relevance, both in Israel and to communities around the world. And we really hope you've received something from the day. Thank you.